Over the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at the road to greatness. And it's a path that takes us to the position where, like Jesus, we will be honored on the final day. The apostles thought that greatness would be based on their natural abilities, which would lead them to do something better or greater than someone else. And so they disputed about who would be the greatest. And in verse 35 it says, "He sat down and called the 12 and said to them, 'If anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all.'" Now, this is a responsibility for each one of us in all of our relationships with other people. Tonight we're going to transfer this into the husband-wife relationship, the parent-child relationship, the servant-master relationship, and all relationships that we have and we deal with in this life. God wants us to put ourselves in position to serve, to be, as he calls it, last of all and servant of all. And then later Jesus said, "Whoever desires to be great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." Now the idea here that he's trying to get across to all of us is that when we're around other people, we are not around other people so that they can do things for us and so that we can get things from them. When we are around other people, we need to see ourselves as their servant. And we need to see ourselves as a person who will set aside time, set aside their own personal desires, their own likes, their own dislikes, in order to serve and help and lift up another individual. And so we have to ask ourselves the question, do we have a view of greatness like our fellow man, or do we have a view of greatness like Jesus? So in Matthew 23, speaking of the religious leaders of his day, Jesus said, "All their works they do to be seen of men." Why? What do they want men to see? Well, let's keep going. "They make their phylacteries broad and enlarge the borders of their garments. They love the best places at feasts." Now, if we were last of all and servant of all, you remember in one of the parables, Jesus said, "You go sit in the lowest seat and let other people take the higher seats. And should the master of the feast come in and say, 'What are you doing down there?' then you can be lifted up. But these people love the best places at feasts, the best seats at the synagogues, greetings in the marketplace, and to be called by men, 'Rabbi, Rabbi.'" I suspect that when Paul said in Philippians chapter 3 that I was far exceeding those of my own age, that he was heading in this direction. So in all our relationships with others, does this sound familiar? When you sit down to eat, do you want the best piece? When it's time to choose what we're going to do with the day, do you want to be the one who gets to pick? When it's time to pick the seat in the car, do we want the best seat? Or are we willing to set that aside for someone else? And so Jesus gives us a different. He says, "You should not be called rabbi, for one is your teacher, and you're all brethren." In other words, there's a level playing field here. No one is greater than anyone else, whether he's an elder, whether he's a president, whether he's an owner. We're all on the same level. Verse 9, "Do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father, he who is in heaven." Isn't it interesting, the very thing Jesus said not to do, we see in some of the religious organizations today who hold the same attitude. They have pomp, they have robes, they are called father, they are treated in a special way. Verse 10, "Do not be called teachers, for one is your teacher." Now here's the key, this is why I read this. "But he who is greatest among you shall be your servant. And he who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted." Is that me or you? Or I hear a beep. Anybody hear it?
Yeah, I do.
Hope it's not me. Let me make sure it's not me. No, it's not me. At least it's not now. It might have been me. All right. So, again, which view of greatness would you say you more closely align with? Do you prefer to be a servant, to take the second, to offer your own comforts and joys and happiness in order to help other people? Now, that's exactly what Jesus did. And so we have two examples of Jesus' greatness. The first one is before he left heaven, where he says, "Have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who existing in the form of God, counted not being on an equality with God, a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being made in the likeness of men." So here's Jesus' view of greatness. I don't have to be with God. I don't have to have the glory that I had with you before the world was. I don't have to have the position of power and glory. What I want to do is sacrifice myself to lift us, to lift men and women who want to be with him in heaven. And so he took the form of a servant. Well, there's an application here that he expects us to do. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition. Now, that's the Pharisees. That's what they were doing. They want the chief places at the synagogue. They want to make broad their phylacteries. They want men to see them. That's what he calls selfish ambition and conceit, because it's like blowing up a balloon. There's nothing there. They don't accomplish anything. But in lowliness of mind, each esteem others better than himself. I can't think of a better definition of being last of all and slave of all than this one. Let each of you esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Now, God's watching. On the judgment day, we will be rewarded by how we've done this, by how we view this, by how we treat other people. And so this is not just an idle sermon. This is a sermon that will determine how great we actually become before we leave this life. And so, I'm going to skip all that. The second one, oh wait, that's where that went. Huh, that's interesting. I wondered where that went. That should be the foot washing, but I stuck it in the wrong place. So Jesus, I'll just quote it. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, that he had come from God and was going back to God, having loved his own, he loved them to the end. Therefore, he took off his clothes, he girded himself with a towel, and he began to wash the disciples' feet. Now, that's what that should say there. Then he says this, "You also ought to wash one another's feet." So Jesus saw his apostles, their feet are dirty, they're uncomfortable, none of them are going to do it because they're too good to do it. So he, wanting them to be comfortable, wanting to help them, the reason he washed their feet, brothers, because they were dirty, it's because it needed to be done. He wanted to serve them. That's the same reason he left heaven and came to this earth. It's the same reason that every time he found someone who needed to be healed, he would stop and heal them. He had compassion. He wanted to lift them up. Then it says, "You ought to wash one another's feet." Now, he's not setting up a new ordinance here. He's saying, when you come upon someone and they have a need, like the Good Samaritan, the Good Samaritan was greater than that priest and that Levite who hid their eyes and looked the other way because they didn't want to know. They didn't want to take the time. They didn't want to be a servant. The Good Samaritan was greater. You also ought to wash one another's feet. For I've given you an example that you should do, not what, but as I have done to you. So whenever you see a need, Dorcas and the widows, the good works and the alms deeds which she did, the tunics that she made, she put herself under those widows. She took her time and she said, "This is something I need to do." Verse 16, "Most assuredly I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who sent greater than him who sent him." This is a tough one to swallow, because sometimes we don't want to do that. But Jesus has already done it. And Jesus says, if you can't do what I'm doing, you're not my servant. No servant is greater than his master. You can't say that's too low for me. I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to do that. Verse 17, if you know these things, and I've just spent about, 10 minutes, you know them. Now we have to make a decision. We can do it or not. Well, let's think about some practical applications here. Just going to look at a few verses. We're not going to cover anything in depth tonight. I just want to lay out the principle so we can start making some applications next week. So let's look at this first verse. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. What does that mean? How do younger people submit themselves to their elders? Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another. Be clothed with humility. Humility is that word we talked about this morning. That word, I think it's tapiosune. And it means you're low. You see yourself as low. You see yourself as someone who should be a servant of other people because you have agape love and you want to be. This is not a servile attitude. This is not an attitude of someone. Like we said last week, meekness is the fruit of power. Being meek, which means giving other people what should be your rights, is not being given up because we can't do anything about it, but because we could do something about it, but we choose not to. So clothe yourselves with humility. Each esteem others better than himself. Now, this is not an easy task because it carries into every relationship. Our relationship with sinners. We should want to be their servants. We should want to teach them the gospel. We should be conducting ourselves in such a way that we are always trying to find a way. We're always helpful. We're always full of good works. Verse 6, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in good time, or in due time. Now, here's it again. If you serve, you will be exalted. The greatest among you will be your servant. Jesus emptied himself, took the form of a servant. You remember how that verse ended? Wherefore God highly exalted him, gave him the name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue should confess. So if you look at the Apostle Paul, who tells the Corinthians, I would gladly spend and be spent for your souls, you're seeing the attitude of a servant. When Paul says, though I am free from all men, I bring myself under them all that I might gain the more. To the weak, I become weak. To those under the law, under the law. To those who are without law, as without law. I make sacrifices. I serve that I might gain the more. So we see all of this. So if we want to be great in the kingdom of heaven, then these are the things that we need to do. Well, let's look at another one. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. Now, who are we talking about here? God? Just our brethren? Everyone? Put on tender mercies. I don't see where there's an end to that. Kindness. Being kind and gentle. You know, we get irritated at each other sometimes. Sometimes we the people we count on fall short of us. Do we respond with kindness like a servant would? Or do we respond with anger like a master would? Are we acting like a servant? Or are we acting like a master? You know, when I got mad at my parents, they never knew about it. I wasn't dumb enough to go in there and show them I didn't like what they were doing because I knew what the response would be. Because I was the servant. But once we become parents, we should carry that same attitude in the way we treat our children. I can't get angry with my children. I can't lash out at them. I can't do these things because Christ put me in the position of being their servant. And if I want to be great in the kingdom of heaven, I got to have this kindness and humility. Here's that word meekness again. And long-suffering. Bearing with one another. forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Isn't that interesting? You remember back in the Sermon on the Mount when Jesus said, here's how you should pray, forgive us our debts, as or in exactly the same way we forgive our debtors. Is that going to get us forgiven, or is that going to get us in big trouble? Do we forgive? Are we like this? Then verse 14. But above all these things, put on, and this is agape love, which is the bond of perfection. And then he starts in, wives, submit to your own husbands, as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. Children, obey your parents in all things. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they be discouraged. Bondservants, obey in all things your masters in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. For you serve the Lord Christ. That bondservant one has got to be the most difficult. We'll see this a little bit later. Actually, I don't think I put it in here. We'll talk about it later. But Paul tells the servants, I think it's in Timothy, it might be in Titus. He says, if you have a master who's a Christian, glorify God and be glad that you can serve someone who is a brother. Well, wait a minute, shouldn't he be letting me go? He's a Christian. Why is he keeping me as a slave? I'm not too happy about that. But the servant doesn't have that kind of an attitude. And then, masters, give your bondservants what is just and fair, knowing that you have a master in heaven. So, serving, wives, submit to your husbands. If you want to be great in the kingdom of heaven, that's the only path. Husbands, you don't have unbridled or unlimited power. You love your wives. You treat them with the same love as Christ had. We'll see this in the Ephesian letter. Treat them like Jesus did when he died on the cross. Jesus, so now we take that verse in Philippians chapter 3, or chapter 2, about have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who existing in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, becoming a servant. Husbands need to ponder that. Because sometimes husbands think, I'm the head of the house. Well, Christ is the head of the house. And he doesn't treat anybody like that. I am meek and lowly, and you will find rest for your souls. That's what ought to happen in a home. Bondservants, slaves, children, fathers, masters. The greatest in the kingdom of heaven is last of all, and servant of all, whether you find yourself as a boss or an employer, because we don't have masters and slaves today in America. So, but this verse doesn't just go out of effect, because when I become, I get hired, those 8 hours, I'm his servant. And he said, well, I can quit anytime you want. I can quit anytime I want. Yeah, you can. But as long as you're getting paid an hourly wage, you're servants. You're serving him. And so, and the master's the same thing. The boss, the employer, yeah, he's not a slave. I mean, he's not a boss 24/7, but he's a boss for 8 hours. So, as a Christian, tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, and putting on love is for wives and husbands. It's for children and fathers. It's for bondservants. The masters. Humility. Meekness. There is no such thing as absolute authority on this earth. Authority is given as service to the people who are under those put in authority. That's what Jesus came to teach. And that's what Jesus showed them with the foot washing. How many husbands would do that for a wife? Well, now you have to. How many fathers would do that for their children? Well, if you want to be great in the kingdom of heaven, that's the kind of father, that's the kind of husband, that's the kind of boss that we need to be. Well, if you're not convinced yet, let's go to another one. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will is, what the Lord is. Giving thanks always. Now, I skipped in there, don't be drunk with wine and speak one to another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. But the reason I'm starting like this, because if you look at verse 21, it doesn't stand alone. He doesn't say submitting one to another, but you see there's a comma there. As a matter of fact, there's lots of commas. There's no period all the way back up. Two, do not be unwise, but understand what the will is, or what the will of the Lord is. Now, we already saw it. He told his apostles, the greatest among you will be your servant, and last of all. So, verse 21, submitting to one another in the fear of God, or as the other translations, only the Old King James and New King James have God, in the fear of Christ, which makes very little difference. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart. Masters, do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. Service in the home, in the job, and when we get to Peter, in the church. What else do we have? I mean, if you're going to be last of all and servant of all, where are you going to do it? Where are we going to show God that this is the kind of man or woman I want to be? This is the kind of Christian I want you to see me to be. I want you to see me as a servant who sacrifices. I want you to see me as one of the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. I want to be last of all, servant of all. I want to put on meekness and lowliness and humility and love and kindness. Where are we going to show that if it's not in the church? If it's not at work, and if it's not in the home, I don't know where else you would show it. Wives, if you want to be great in the kingdom of heaven, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. That is not demeaning. A lot of women today, I'm not going to submit to him. He knows better than I am. Matter of fact, as I look him over, I think I'm a lot better than he is. And she may be right. That doesn't matter. Wives, submit to, and I love this thing, your own husband. I think, well, what's that doing in there? Why does he put your own husband in there? Well, I think there's a lot of women out there, boy, if I had that kind of a husband, I'd submit to him, but not you. And what you do is close the door into greatness. You close the door. Yeah, your husband may not be, but look at verse 21. In the fear of God. It's not because they're worth it. It's not because they earned it. It's not because they deserve it or they ought to be respected. It's because I fear God. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2. Each counting others better than himself. Not looking out for your own interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this mind in you which was in Christ Jesus, who existing in the form of God, emptied himself, became a servant. Who are you as a husband to say, God made me the head? That doesn't matter. That doesn't work. Same thing with children. It's interesting, though, as you look at the wives and the children and the bondservants, they have to serve. But when you look at the husbands and the fathers and the masters, they choose to serve. But the reality is just exactly the opposite, because wives have to choose to serve. And it's the attitude in their heart that God's looking at, not what they're doing on the outside. Not, as Paul says, not with eye service as men pleasers, but sincerely for the Lord. And if we can't do that, we close the door to greatness. We close the door to happiness, to contentment, to joy, and to service to the Lord. So, if I find myself as a wife, or a husband, or a child, or a father, or a bondservant, or a master, I go back up to verse, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. I know what the will of the Lord is. The greater will serve the lesser. If you want to be first, you need to be last of all and servant of all. If you want to be great, you need to wash one another's feet like I washed one another's feet. If you want to be important to me, then you need to put other people's needs above your own. You need to consider them to be better than himself. Well, if we're still not convinced, let's do it again. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Therefore, submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Now we're to government. I haven't talked about government yet. But government fits here too. If you want to be last of all and servant of all, you submit to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Then, servants, be submissive to your own masters, or to your masters, with all fear, reverence, and respect. Not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. For this is commendable if because of conscience toward God one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. That's the context of this poor slave who's been sold. Maybe he's been stolen from his home. Maybe Rome has come in and conquered and killed his parents and his friends, and he's been taken off to a foreign land, and now he's become a Christian. And he's told, be submissive to your masters. You think that'd be easy? You think that that would be something that we could just do without feeling demeaned? I'm not going to submit to that man. That man doesn't own me. He doesn't have the right to have that. And that's true. But the path to greatness is to be last of all and servant of all. And I can't imagine how difficult that would be. But if as a Christian we ever find ourselves in that position, we're going to have to do this. We're going to have to learn how to do this, even though we don't think it's fair or right or just, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. For this is commendable if because of conscience toward God one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. Now we're back to the turn the other cheek and go the second mile. Now we're back to if anyone strikes you on the cheek, turn the other. What credit is it if when you're beaten for your faults, well, I deserve this, I did it. But when you do good and suffer, if you can take that patiently, then you're last of all and servant of all. Now we're in the position we need to be in as Christians. So once again, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, wives likewise, be submissive to your own husbands. And then he goes on, and I've skipped it, but he talks about that you can, even if they won't obey the word, without a word, they can be changed by the conduct of their wives when they see the chaste behavior. But look at the rest of it. Let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. I think if we were to take that statement and overlay it to what Jesus said to the apostles, you need to be last of all and servant of all. Or if we overlay it over Colossians chapter 3, where he says, put on a heart of compassion and lowliness and meekness and forbearing and bearing with one another. This woman has a meek and quiet spirit. It's interesting, so did Jesus. Matthew chapter 11, when he said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. You will find rest for your souls. I'm not like other masters. Other masters use you for their own ends. And Paul says if they do that, you still have to serve them. Jesus doesn't do that. Jesus uses us for our best interest so he can reward us. Yes, we have tasks to do, and yes, we are servants. And yes, if we have to, we give up our family, we give up our lives for him. But not because he's harsh, but because he's meek and lowly in heart, and because we want that rest. Well, here's this woman with a beauty, the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. Now, I've always considered verses 5 and 6 to be the real key here, because it says there, in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves. What did they adorn themselves with? The incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. How do you know that? Because they were submissive to their own husbands. Submission to your own husbands. Ephesians chapter 5. Colossians chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. The greatest in the kingdom of heaven is the one who serves. If you want to be seen as great, and like I said, how else are you going to do it? I mean, especially if you have a terrible husband, how else are you going to do it? But to do that, just like he told the servants. And then he goes on, husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel. Treat your wives like you treat precious things that can easily be broken. Be careful with them. Be meek. Be lowly. Be gentle. Be forbearing. Be forgiving. Giving honor as being heirs together of the grace of life. Finally, all of you be of one mind. So we've gone. Let's go back and look at the progression here now. We start with having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles. Submit to all civil government. Police deserve our respect. They deserve our submission. They deserve that we would treat them better than ourselves, that we would go out of our way to do everything we can to make their work easier. Now, that's not how our culture is. But we want to be great in the kingdom of heaven. We're not like those Sadducees and Pharisees who want to be seen as being important. And sad to say, a lot of people seem to be important when they're not in submission to their government, or when they're not in submission at the workplace. But if you want to be great in the kingdom of heaven, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man. And again, once again, not because they deserve it, for the Lord's sake. And then he starts, therefore submit, servants be submissive. Let's keep going. Wives likewise be submissive. Husbands likewise. Your submission is by dwelling with them according to knowledge, which is everything we've just talked about in this lesson. Giving them honor, treating them like a precious, weaker vessel. And then, finally, so we have likewise, 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 finally. It's a unit. And it starts with having your conduct honorable, and then it moves to submit, 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 and treat as precious and special. And then finally, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tender-hearted. Be courteous. Not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing. Now that needs to be laid over our relationship to the government, our relationship as servants, our relationships as wives, our relationships as husband, our relationships as brethren. Not returning evil for evil. Not returning reviling for reviling. How many fights could stop if one of the people would just turn the other cheek and absorb a soft answer? Turns away much wrath. But I'm not going to do that. Because I'm just as good as they are, and they can't treat me like this. Well, that's the American way. Like we said last week, Cretans were always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. And I found in my years here in America that Americans are always proud. They're arrogant. They think they're the best. When they... I'll just tell you a quick story. I was in Zimbabwe. And the guy I was with said, the last preacher who came with me, he walked up and he threw down his passport like he was something great. And he almost ended up in jail. And I thought to myself, when you're not in this country, you need to be humble. Those people don't like that. They don't like to be treated. Nobody likes to be treated like that. Now, for Christians, we absorb it. But anyway, as I said, Americans have a serious problem with submission. It's demeaning to Americans. We do not deserve to be put in a position where other people are getting more than we are or better than we are, and we're not going to tolerate it. And I've seen that in so many situations where a marriage is failing. That's the attitude one or both of them have. They won't stoop to being in submission, to turning the other cheek, to being like Jesus, to being a servant. And so, brethren, as we conclude this lesson, and next week, as I say, we'll get into some more specifics of it, but I just want us to help us understand something. America's philosophy towards servitude will keep any Christian who holds to it from greatness. It's not possible to be great when you see service as demeaning. You're not going to lower me to serve someone else. I'm going to get the best. I'm going to get mine. I'm going to get what I want. And Jesus said, if you take that philosophy, because I think that's exactly what the apostles were trying to do. Faction, vain conceit. Hope we don't have any of that here. Let's open up our songbooks to 442. We'll be singing that song in just a few moments. I know this lesson has not pointed out specific ungodliness or sin or immorality, but I think there's a lot of us here who need to give careful thought to whether or not we need to repent about the way we view service and about the way we treat other people in relationships, because we're not kind and forbearing and loving and serving and willing to yield. You remember that wisdom from above? It's willing to yield, patient, easily entreated. If we can help you in any way this evening to leave that behind, maybe by public confession, maybe by baptism, or maybe you just like the prayers of the congregation, we invite you to come while we together stand and sing.